93 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you hungry? Well, you will be after tonight's show. We're serving up a heaping helping of the DMV Black Restaurant Week, now underway through Sunday. If you're not familiar with it, have a seat at the table with my guests. Warren Thompson, owner of Matchbox and chairman and president of Thompson Hospitality. Dr. Aaron Tucker, co-founder of Black Restaurant Week. Farad Tate, co-founder. Andra A.J. Johnson, co-founder of Black Restaurant Week. Lines are open. If you have a question, if you have a comment about Black Restaurant Week, where did it come from? What's cooking? What's popping? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thanks for coming in, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Warren, you there?
Yes.
Warren,
yes,
I am. I have a complaint.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to start right off the top. None of these folks in here brought me a plate. You're on the phone. So I didn't, you're excused. But if, you know, come on, Warren, if you're going to go, these are black folks. Why don't I have a plate?
We have to agree
for you. Stop
at
any of my restaurants tomorrow and you'll be greeted like a king.
Thank you so much.
I will definitely let you slide. Warren, I'm going to start with you. What was the genesis of DMV Black Restaurant Week? How did it start?
I'm not certain. You might want to ask one of the founders, but I can tell you that the moment I heard about it, I was so excited to find out that this is existing in the DMV area. As a local restaurateur, I always look at ways to better serve the market, to penetrate new markets, and I think this particular Black Restaurant Week is exactly what we need to be able to get the message out, especially to the African American community, that black restaurants are alive and thriving, and we continue to look for ways to better serve the community.
Dr. Tucker, whose idea was it?
It was a collaboration, but what we did, I ended up meeting Tate through church, mm-hmm. And he ran the foods at our church, and I ended up reading an article about AJ and a book she was writing called White Plates, Black Faces, and we came together because we thought we wanted to provide education to people who wanted to be part of this industry. We love hospitality. We've been in it in our own way. And we are all really joined by education. And so that's what we came together for. And then one day, there's been a series of articles that's been written in the last year. I don't know if it's because of the Starbucks incident and all these, people being, a lot of African Americans and how they've been treated in restaurants. So there's these articles that started coming out about where are the black chefs, where's the black managers. And I just kind of read the last article and said, what do you mean, where are they? They're everywhere. I mean, I've been on the education side long enough and worked in industry that I said, we need a platform that profiles black-owned restaurants as well as management. And I came to the two of them and said, hey, I've been hearing about this Black Restaurant Week that's been going on. You know, let's kind of ask around and see. And they said, hey, let's go ahead and do it.
AJ, how do patrons, not just black patrons, mm-hmm. but patrons in general, how do you believe they need to be educated about black cuisine?
Well, I think that's a fun question. Black cuisine. What do you mean by black cuisine?
Well, this is Black Restaurant Week.
It is Black Restaurant Week. But, like, what? I think there's sort of this misunderstanding that black people can only cook one certain style of food.
No, didn't say that. Because black cuisine is, I would argue that black cuisine is not fried chicken, collard greens, mashed potatoes, and macaroni and cheese. Gosh, I need a plate.
I would agree with you. You sound hungry.
Right.
I would agree with you in that way, but I think that there
it's international, I would say
it's international as well, but I think that places that do well are places that you're like, oh, this feels very authentic. End up being Caribbean places. They end up being soul food places where you have black chefs that are classically trained, that do French food. I mean, it was very interesting. Yes. Like the one black man who has won a James Beard, he's a French chef, but he doesn't cook ethnic, like Caribbean food. He cooks French food mm-hmm. on purpose, so that it's something that everybody I feel like can agree from a high end level is that style of cuisine. So when you say black cuisine, I'm not really sure what you mean.
Well,
by
that's
that.
What I think you nailed it.
You know, we can do
because
everything.
I think a lot of people assume, as I said, that it's just soul food,
mm-hmm.
and it ends right there. And depending on you know what side of the tracks you are, how you were raised, what part of town you are, you don't even get the Caribbean flavor that you don't have the blessed opportunity.
Well, West African.
Let's talk about
West
that.
African. And first, I really want to say Mr. Thompson has set the bar. I mean, when I were able to literally know that it's possible because men like him are doing it with his team, that sets a standard that other restaurants. This is when we did Black Restaurant Week. We wanted to make sure that our community know that there's room for the table, but we have to come to this table of business professional and ready to serve like never before, because you don't get a second chance to sever plate. That plate has to be perfect when it's placed on that table. And Mr. Thompson does that continuously. And we wanted to make sure that these other restaurants, the 40 that we have in this book, the mm-hmm. Green Book, mm-hmm. understands that when we come together, there's enough food and enough opportunity to help sustain these businesses in our community. And when we work together, we have over 180, we call them brand ambassadors, who see the importance from day one like he did. And we are working collectively to make sure that we matter, these black businesses, and we're here to stay.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about DMV Black Restaurant Week here in the D.C. Metro. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You mentioned the Green Book. What's the Green Book?
So the Green Book, I have started an online database for black business in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And so that was sort of part of a subpart of my book, White Place, Black Faces. And so when we decided to come together and do this, because of the historical references to Victor Hugo Green's Green Book that was done for, they were doing it for 30 years, I wanted to bring that back, right? We wanted to really sort of put all of these businesses in one place so people can pick that up at Busboys and Poets. They're $10. You can also, if you have my number, you can call me. I'll drop them off at your door.
You don't want me dropping your number on this show.
No.
You won't get any sleep.
When we started to go to dinner parties and ask our friends point blank, when is the last time you've been to a black restaurant? They were like, where do they exist? And we said we needed to put not only online, because we have one of our partners, we have it online, and you can literally see where these restaurants exist. We, again, wanted to give homage, so you can open up that nice green book and stroll through Busboys and Poets to Ben Ali. You can stroll to all of these restaurants that exist and make in D.C., Virginia, and Maryland that makes the community a place. Food brings the community together, and our restaurants have been doing that. Maxbox had Capitol Hill Cluster Schools. Capitol Hill Cluster Schools. The school, my son goes to Capitol Hill Cluster.
Okay.
I go to Boy Scout. He's telling me how awesome Maxbox Pizza is because they help the school raise funds. That's the type of things. Busboys has been doing it for years, a place that brings the community together around numerous of topics. Our restaurants need, yesterday, even at Ben's next door. Mm-hmm. Howard University alumni are at Ben's next door. When we support our restaurants support our community.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black Restaurant Week here in the DMV. By the way, if you want some more information, you can find it online at dmvbrw.com. That's dmvbrw.com. And for those of you who are on social media, they are asking that you hashtag DMVBRW just to let them know how things are going. Let me talk to LaRuby calling from Maryland. LaRuby, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello there. Yes, I'm LaRuby Lamel. I'm a degreed culinarian. I'm calling in from Lexington Park, Maryland, mm-hmm. in St. Mary's County. I would just like to know where I could participate as far as assisting any of the chefs in any of the restaurants this week, maybe Sunday. I do have an engagement tomorrow night, but if you could give me any insight as to if anyone would need any extra help on Sunday, I would be delighted to come up and do some work with them.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, for the first thing, we have tomorrow, we have a education conference taking place at UDC. It begins at 9 a.m. We go from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at UDC. You can definitely come to the conference. Just visit our website and click on the link. You can also go and call the restaurants themselves, all the participating restaurants, and you'll ask for the management and talk to the chef directly.
We created a platform also
Thank
for young
you
people.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, we created a platform for people like you to reach out to our young people. We have Ballou Senior High School, Roosevelt State. These places need professionals like you interacting with our young persons who are entering into this hospitality field. Okay. So thank you so much.
LaRuby, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about DMV, Black Restaurant Week here in the D.C. Metro, going on until Sunday. So you definitely want to get in on that. I have restaurateurs. I have some chefs here. I have some business people here. So if you have a question, give us a call. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810. Warren, I'll start this question with you, but you may want to pick it up after we take this break. Because how difficult is it to run a restaurant in Washington where there are just so many black-owned and others?
Right. I'm happy to take that question. Would you like to wait? Or
yeah, I think about that because I really want you to drill down a little bit into that. This is such a critical thing, you know, for those who may be considering doing their own thing. So I'll talk about that on the other side. Lines are still open. David calling from Silver Spring. We're going to talk to you next. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation about DMV Black Restaurant Week in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about DMV Black Restaurant Week going on right now in the DC Metro. Have a seat at this table and learn a little something about black-owned restaurants, what they're preparing, and the business of restaurants. My guests are Warren Thompson, owner of Matchbox, and chairman and president of Thompson Hospitality, Dr. Aaron Tucker, co-founder of Black Restaurant Week, Farad Tate, he's also one of the co-founders, and Andra A.J. Johnson, co-founder of Black Restaurant Week. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Warren, before the break, I was asking about the business of the business.
The restaurant business is one of the toughest businesses you could ever imagine. The failure rate is about 95% in terms of restaurants that actually start up that end up operating beyond 3 years. So the failure rate is very, very high. I often say that the best way to get in the business is to be prepared for the opportunity before the opportunity ever happens. I decided at the age of 12 that I wanted to be in the restaurant business. I spent 20 years preparing to own my own restaurant company. So I undergrad school in business, graduate school, getting an MBA, and then going through a fast-track program with the Marriott Corporation, spending 9 years there, leaving there, doing a leverage buyout of the big boy restaurants. So we purchased 31 restaurants in the Washington area. And that started Thompson Hospitality 26 years ago. So I often tell young people, especially on the historical black colleges that we operate, Thompson today is the largest provider of food service on historical black college campuses. A lot of our students are thinking about the hospitality industry, and they're thinking about what's the best way to get in. And I often tell them, get the experience on someone else's dime. Make mistakes while you're working for someone else. Then that'll increase the chances of success once you get out and start your own company.
Hmm.
We're also working with some of the young people on our campuses in the hospitality programs to train them, develop them, have them come into our company, maybe spend 3 to 5 years in a management program, and then to license or franchise one of our brands from us. For me, that will be the ultimate success, to take a young person, help develop that person, and then set that person up with a franchise of one of the Thompson brands.
Mm-hmm. I need to go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, David. What's on your mind?
You guys brought back to my remembrance because I've seen it on social media, Facebook. I forgot about Black Restaurant Week. I was just calling to, number one, ask, are there any black-owned restaurants in the Silver Spring area, since I'm here? Or if not, like, what restaurant could I check out?
David, you're breaking up. We'll try to get that question answered. AJ, go right ahead.
Yeah, so hi, David. There are actually a ton of black-owned restaurants in Silver Spring and ethnic and cultural restaurants in Silver Spring. I actually live there myself. In terms of what our participating dining members, I would definitely go to our website, dmvbrw.com. All of our members are listed there, and the links hit right to those,
right,
to their website,
their addresses, and
with their addresses, because some have multiple locations.
Go ahead, Warren.
We do have an American Tap Room in Bethesda, which is pretty close, and we will be opening a Matchbox in Silver Spring in about 90 days at the downtown Silver Spring development.
That's what I'm talking
Excellent.
About.
Yes, right over there. Sir.
Well, David, thank you so much for your phone call. You know, I've introduced the three of you as co-founders of Black Restaurant Week, but a little bit more, and I'll start with you. AJ, what's your experience with the culinary arts or restaurateuring?
I started in the business when I was 14 as a host at Chili's in Rockville. It's no longer there, but it was there for forever. From there, I started working at Steak and Egg, graveyard shifts, you know, get out of basketball practice and then go and do that. Went to school. I was working in a coffee shop, Mayorga Coffee, for a long time, and then got the opportunity to actually run one of the stores at a very young age. I was like 18 or 19. From there, I got into Open City, the Constantine Stavropoulos group, and worked there at Open City and at the diner as the AGM and beverage director there. Then I decided I wanted to get more into fine dining. Fast casual is fun but you know, you got to make a lot of money with a whole lot of people, where you can make the same amount of money in fine dining with less people.
What's your specialty?
My specialty? Wine is definitely where I'm most focused. Heavy into wine and food pairings. Wine and food pairings is sort of what I do. I mean, I went to culinary school. Being in the kitchen is hard. It is very, very hard. Not to say that front of house positions are not also hard, but it's difficult to be able to please every single person and have that every single flavor has to be absolutely perfect. So much respect to my back of house crew out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I find when you understand the multiple facets of the industry, right? It wasn't just about, okay, I'm a chef, I'm going to go to culinary school and just learn the food. The best chefs travel the world. The best chefs taste the wine. The best chefs drink the booze. The best chefs go out and try other people's food, right? They're the ones that have had a lot more sort of cultural understanding when it comes to herbs, when it comes to those, to being able to use your olfactory senses to bring flavors together so that it, you know, you can really recreate a memory with that bite, with every single bite. And so that's sort of where I've been.
Farrad, yours?
Wow. Well, after leaving the Howard Inn Hotel, I started Platinum Catering.
And you don't look that old.
Yeah. Ooh. I was providing 3,000.
Black doesn't crack.
Yeah, 3,000.
Black restaurant food doesn't crack.
Yeah.
So we opened up a company to provide we provided 3,000 meals a day for DC charter schools. I took what I learned here in school and went back to my community and provided a healthy quality meal for students in charter schools. But I also opened on 8th Street, Inspired Barbecue, where I trained high school students and veterans in the food service and helped them transition into permanent positions at hotels and restaurants. So I'm from the ground. Mm-hmm. I took my skill back to my community, and I took the food into a community that could afford it while training individuals, realizing that they can work in this industry, hospitality industry, and live. Mm-hmm. So after 20-some-odd years, I have been really now focusing on helping small businesses sustain themselves and to grow themselves while training tomorrow's food service professionals from Southeast to Ward 7, getting young people ready to go to work. Our newest product is called Love Muffin, which is a luxury continental breakfast experience that we're providing while teaching young people the importance of work and the importance of being professional at everything they do.
What's your specialty? What do you like to cook?
Well, when it comes to just making everything healthy and natural, I've been known for my barbecue ribs. We were on 8th Street doing some 8-hour smoke hickory ribs and making people take their shoes off at the front door.
Oh, Lord. and loosening their belts, no doubt.
That's right.
Dr. Tucker, your background.
I'm originally from Chicago, and when I finished at Florida A&M, FAMU, shout out, D.C. chapter, I decided, and yes, I did.
She's a rat.
HBCU grad.
You know, I love fried rattlesnake. I used to work in Tallahassee. I used to watch those rattlers get fried every Saturday. I'm sorry, go right ahead.
It's okay. When I finished school, I wanted to I didn't want to go into traditional corporate jobs. I wanted to go and follow my passion working in the sports industry. So I went back to Chicago. I interned for a sports agent for a year and decided after that I wanted to work on the event side. So I went back to Florida, went to Florida State, did two internships in sports management, one with the Orlando Magic and one with the PGA Tour. And it was really through golf that I really found my passion in on the corporate event side. So I did that. I went to Atlanta and I negotiated sponsorship agreements for General Motors, that big company I said I didn't want to work for, between Cadillac and Buick and the PGA Tour. And I did that for about 4 years before moving to Charlotte, where I couldn't do the same thing. But within my network, I had a friend of mine, Vanessa Gates, who recruited me to be a group sales manager for Jillian's Entertainment, which you might not know Jillian's, but you might know Dave & Buster's.
Okay.
So it was that equivalent. Eventually, they bought our location. And I did that. I was a group sales manager, brought in groups, and I was doing that and decided to go and work on my MBA part-time. And then there was a school named Johnson & Wales University that was opening up in Charlotte, and I booked them for a recruiting event, and they said, hey, we've got this major called Sports Event Entertainment Management. You make a great guest speaker. And I said, okay. And I went in and guest spoke, and I said, this is what I want to do.
But I don't hear food in here. I mean, Johnson & Wales is known around the world, and you spoke about, you know, working in the sports industry, so I'm sure there's more than hot dogs, beer, and peanuts in your repertoire.
Well, I mean, you know, when I was at Jillian's, I mean, you have to. One of the things that in the restaurant industry is that if you don't have anybody selling your property, you are not going to sustain yourself as a business.
Do you cook?
Yep.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
and what you're doing now at Georgetown.
I think that's a very important
huge
point.
They didn't hire me to cook. They hired me to sell their property.
I know.
And what you're doing now in Georgetown is actually bringing everyone back to the education place. And that's what a conference.
And it's really funny because people always ask me, well, so whatever happened to the sports side? And I said, well, I took that customer service experience that I pulled from golf and pulled from restaurants. And I started a company where I did nothing but customer service training. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can go into the discussion of good food, bad service.
How about that? Let's talk about that because, you know, we often hear, you know, black folks, they go into a restaurant, they complain about the service, and then you hear restaurants complaining about the black folks. So black restaurants or others, which is right?
Well,
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I'll take it from one side.
You take it from one side, I'll take it from the other.
Right.
Mr. Thompson, it would love to hear his response also. Go ahead.
Right, absolutely. I think that there is one element of the fact that training of the employees is something that is so important. OJT, which is on-the-job training, is okay, but a full formal training is exceptionally important. And a lot of times when we bring people into our establishments, we don't train them on we train them on maybe on the menu, but we don't train them on how to regulate themselves with working with guests and on listening to the guest and engaging with the guests. Some do. Some restaurants do it right, but for the most part, we necessarily don't do that.
Yeah.
So that's what I did my dissertation on, actually, was in that space of how do we train our employees to regulate their emotions and be able to problem solve. So when we, you know, train them, that's one thing. And then when we promote them, what are we doing to help promote them and get them into upper levels? Sometimes we promote the best server to be a trainer, and that might not be the best position for her.
I wanted to ask Warren that too before I go back to AJ and Farad. Same question, Warren. When it comes to black customers back black restaurants, where's the rub?
Yeah, I try to avoid any type of stereotyping, and as a restaurateur, I have found customers, no matter what the race, who will decide for whatever reason not to tip. Some Europeans will not tip because it's not a part of their culture in Europe. The tips are always included in the check. So if an African-American customer doesn't tip properly, I always say, let's look at ourselves first as the hospitality provider. Did we provide exceptional service? Because I have found, my experience leads me to believe that when we provide exceptional service, we get exceptional tips, regardless of the race. So I always tell my people, if you didn't get the tip that you feel like you deserve, you have to look at yourself first before looking at that customer and saying and drawing some type of stereotype. Because 9 times out of 10, that tip was not proper because the service was not proper. So you will not find any of my restaurants forcing a tip on a customer, regardless of the size of the party. I'm a firm believer that we have to earn that tip. And if we earn that tip, then that customer will come back. Force a tip, you can have bad service and lose that customer.
I need to take a break. When we come back, I want to finish that part of the conversation, and I have some other questions as well as we continue our discussion about DMV, Black Restaurant Week. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the kind of laughter that you get when your stomach is full. And so since they didn't bring a plate, I'm faking that. But
we love you.
Right, there you go. But, you know, before the break, we were talking about, some of the more, well-discussed issues when you're talking about black folks and they talk about service in restaurants. And I'm sure that restaurant owners, talk about black folks as well as customers as a whole, and the thing that I was saying, AJ, your thoughts about that, and what should black folks that patronize restaurants of any kind, but even black establishments, what should they know? What do you think?
So we're gonna take it all the way back, right? This is an industry that is built on hospitality, and I think from a service standpoint, when we get into the good food, bad service side of it, there is a lot of stigma there. Right, especially coming from a front of house side. You're a server. You serve. As black people, we served for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Right? And so there is this stigma, even when people say, hey, I'm a career server, I'm a career bartender. It's not always looked upon as a profession.
Yeah.
Right? If you say, oh, I want to be a chef, there's a lot of black and African parents around who say, no, that's not a job, right? That's not how you're going to build your career. So there's a stigma there, I think, already, where it's like, I'm doing something for somebody else, instead of having that mindset as a server or as wait staff, as I'm bringing somebody into my home. You're sitting down at my table. I'm going to take care of you and give you the best of what I have to offer you. It's sort of looked at as the other way, like I don't work for you kind of thing. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is I think I agree wholeheartedly with Mr. Thompson in that you have to treat everybody you treat people the same across the board. You don't go into the situation with preconceived notions or stereotypes, because it does affect how you treat those people. It does affect your service. It does affect, your money at the end of the day. And so, yeah, you know what? Screw that idea that the black people are going to ask for hot water and lemons and Europeans are not going to tip because that's not in their culture. Just have a good time and treat people the same. And honestly, as someone who's been serving tables for over 10 years, it all comes out in the wash. It all comes out in the wash. We make good money.
Workplace culture is one of the topics that we're going to be talking about tomorrow. The conference at UDC is a place where we begin to talk about how do we become better. And that culture starts with the owner. The owner has to set that tone for the staff that trickles down in everything that staff does to love that customer from the first moment that door is open, that smile and that hello. That's something that a lot of owners skip. They might have a beautiful wall, a nice chairs, but getting our staff to understand the culture that exists in this restaurant is something that we know through our training of people. I mean, we train years and years of training. That has to be continually repeated so that the staff knows every customer before that door is even open. I'm prepared to serve you the moment you decide to call me on the phone, even go to me, or go to my website. I want you to know that I'm ready to serve you. And at the conference tomorrow, UDC, this is one of the topics that we're going to talk about. Each topic that we do at this conference, we're going to be hashtagging and tweeting out, because we want the customer to understand they have a mindset change also too, and that they affect this experience when we decide to choose our restaurants. Miss Ali, owner of Ben's, said in front of everybody, it is harder for restaurants to exist in this day and age because of the choices. So when you choose to go to a black restaurant, we want that experience to make you want to come back and come back.
Mm-hmm. Where and when specifically is the conference at UDC?
It's tomorrow, Saturday, November the 10th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at UDC Student Center Ballroom.
Okay, and it's free and open to the public?
It's not free.
It's only $60.
$60.
We kept the price really, really low.
So do you pay in advance? You pay at the door?
Yes, you would go visit the website, dmvbrw.com, and click on Education Conference. It has a listing of the panels and description and a link for our Eventbrite.
dmvbrw.com. That's where you can find the information. Also, let's talk to Eric. Eric calling from Lorton, Virginia. Eric, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me, Harold.
Sure.
Hello, everyone. I'm calling in this evening because DMV Black Restaurant Week has had a tremendous week this week, but I'm just wondering what the next steps are to keep the momentum going. Is this going to be something for next year? Are we looking at maybe other seminars and more education over the course of the year? I'm just wondering where we're going for here since we've had such a wonderful week. Thank you.
Well, Eric, great question. We are going to do this next year, but more importantly, we're going to be doing quarterly events, so quarterly programming. So in February, May, and August, we're going to be doing themed conversations and workshops centered around our themes of culture, education, and good food. So in February, we're going to be looking at education, but more from the wellness side. So we want to look at how mental, spiritual, and financial wellness is important for the business owner and hospitality business owner. So we're looking at that. May, we're looking towards a theme of education, and education come in a variety of perspectives. And then in August, we will be looking at good food, but from a different perspective. So just stay tuned, and that'll get us right to next year, next
November.
And
one of the things we're going to do tomorrow is about engagement. We're going to ask the people at this conference what are some of the next steps that they're looking for. Our city is looking for us to engage people. So we're not telling people what's next. People are helping us create what's next. Mm-hmm. Our volunteers, And our partners like the Washington Informer, Maxbox, all of these organizations, these companies, they get it. And we are looking for more organizations. You get it, brother. We're looking for more organizations say that when we all come together and create platforms that conversations happens freely, we begin to create that environment where food and business matters.
Go ahead, Maurin.
Just wanted to chime in, too. Today we're opening the new restaurant called the Delegate.
Yay!
It's called the what?
It's called the Delegate.
The Delegate, okay.
Yep, it's at Columbia Place. It's the new Courtyard and Residence Inn, which was developed by the Howard alum, Norm Jenkins. So we're going to provide the restaurant and the food service in that property. It's a 500-room hotel, and we've got the Delegate restaurant that'll have classic American food, very high-end decor and atmosphere. And we want to do a lot of education with African-American students and students in general in that facility. We've got tremendous banquet space, nice restaurant, Residence Inn, Courtyard Hotel. So we will be bringing students in from our universities around the country and holding seminars on an ongoing basis about the value of being in the hospitality industry. More information will be available on the Thompson Hospitality website. That's thompsonhospitality.com. So I hope some of your listeners will look us up.
Well, thank you so much. And Eric, thank you so much for your question. What about, this is DMV, but what about Baltimore? Is there any opportunity to expand there? Two different cities, but and I live in Baltimore, so I know that these are two great culinary creative cities.
Yes, Baltimore has it going on.
Yeah, their black restaurant scene is extremely thriving. Like
We plan to open at least 5 restaurants in the Baltimore market within the next 18 months. We're going to take Matchbox to Baltimore. Hen Quarter, which is our southern concept, will be opening in Baltimore, as well as the American Tap Room and our Big Bun concept, the new burger concept, and Austin Grill. So we're taking all the brands from the D.C. market to the Baltimore market over the next 18 months, 12 to 18 months.
And so we created a platform where people who want to do a black restaurant in their cities, we're willing to share. We've created a model that we believe will work in other cities. So we're looking at Baltimore. We love Sobeys. We love Virginia. So we're looking to utilize this platform and this system that we created. And with the right partners, like the brother who's on his phone, and go to other cities. So this is not going to stop. We're going to do this annually here in Washington, D.C., but we believe that black restaurants matter throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Chef Kat and Chef Nicole last night at one of our parallel programming where I brought in Chef El Simone from America's Test Kitchen, and she brought these ladies down to do a panel at the Wing in Georgetown last night. And so when they were asking, like, we need to team up and do something in Baltimore, I was like, you guys have a pretty good season. We do. We also don't consider ourselves as D.C. or Maryland. We're our own thing. And so she was very adamant about that. I was like, that's fair. That's totally fair.
There's a lot of that,
But the partnership thing can happen. That would be amazing. Because I had people from Richmond also asking the same thing, which they also have an amazing, amazing black food scene.
Just call us. We're ready to work.
Yeah. The partnerships, definitely. But we also didn't want people, you know, heading all the way out to Richmond, having to drive all the way back. I mean, it's about food and drink and things like that. We wanted to try to keep it metro accessible so that everybody could sort of get out there and get home safe as well.
I'll ask you this, and I'll let you have the last word here, Warren. I've got about a minute left. What do you think is the next evolution for black restaurateurs? What's the next big thing?
You know, I think black restaurateurs, need to continue to become more and more sophisticated about business. At the end of the day, we're running businesses that have to be well capitalized, well positioned from a marketing perspective. The product, the value proposition has to be on point. We have to be able to address and attack the ever-threatening technology boom that's confronting the restaurant industry. So when you look at all of that, I think the next generation of black-owned restaurateurs will be pioneers and really bold explorers of the business aspect of running restaurants. I think that will make them even more successful than any prior to.
I think that's a great way to end this conversation. Dr. Aaron Tucker, Farrard Tate, Warren Thompson, AJ, thank you all for talking to us.
Thank you.
Don't eat
thank
too
you.
Much this weekend.
Thank you. Oh, no. To these restaurants.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Hey, go ahead. Right. Monday's a holiday.
That's right.
You deal with your itis right. on Monday.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Friday, November 9th, for News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.